Every summer, Union Gospel Mission gathers up children from the inner city and gives them a camping experience. For some children, it's the very first one in their lives. And every camping session is loaded with unique experiences. I would like to share one with you. As has been my regular summer involvement, I was the camp speaker for the week. Inner city children are not the easiest to teach, but the challenge is most exciting and supremely rewarding. Monday, opening night, and Tuesday morning, I noticed a girl, approximately 16 years old, seated next to the wall about four rows down on my right. She looked most distressed and troubled. She was the picture of utter despair. Kids were singing at the tops of their voices, dancing on the spot, waving their arms and participating with unrestrained zest and vigor in the action songs being taught by the song leader. This girl was the picture of gloom and misery and hopelessness and despair. She showed no glimmer of life throughout the Bible lesson that I taught. The next morning, her counselor shared, "I know the girl you're inquiring about. She is a dead sphinx. She shows no emotion and keeps to herself. I'm sure she's carrying a bushel of problems. We always get a few like her from the inner city." Tuesday evening, after chapel, without invitation and unexpectedly, this misery-ridden and troubled girl, I will call her Mary, she stood beside me asking if she might talk with me. I pointed to a picnic table near the creek, and she shared her stomach-churning burden to me. She had actually come from a so-called Christian home. Her father had sexually abused her for years. Not being able to cope with the guilt, she had cut her wrists in an attempt to take her life, but failed. She was discovered in time and taken to the hospital and recovered. However, her attempted suicide was gossiped about, and not being able to face the shame in her community of friends, she made her escape, and for the past 2 years, she had lived with a single elderly lady. She called her aunt. She had lived the life of a recluse with a tortured conscience, not divulging her secret and unbearable shame to anyone until this very moment when she divulged it to me. Also, did I know a place where she could go and remain unknown? She hated her life and carried an obsession of obdurate, vindictive hate toward her father. Her comments and manner of speaking indicated that she was saturated with indescribable, hostile bitterness that crippled and twisted her entire disposition. She was surprisingly blunt and open to me, and I listened with compassion and sympathy. After a lengthy pause, she listened to my counsel, which I spoke with sincere tenderness, but also with fear. I concluded in prayer. There was only one remedy. She must go to her father and make reconciliation. If she failed to do this, the anger with which she was saturated and literally enslaved would eventually destroy her. She had already made one attempt. She would try another. There was no alternative. My heart was broken for her. As I studied her, she portrayed a broken and defeated girl, abused beyond repair. She sobbed long and uncontrollably, and then without another word, she stood to her feet and walked away, slowly, to her cabin, frequently stopping and wiping tears. 2 summers later, I was again scheduled to speak to the same age level. Some had remembered the songs from previous years. The singing was full throttle and every muscle strained to the limit in acting out the camp songs. Every camper out shouting his neighbor. After the second chapel, a charming and five-facious girl came and blocked my path. "Remember me?" I was at a loss. "Please accept my apologies. Introduce yourself. Tell me why I should remember you." She turned and pointed to a picnic table near the creek. "You remember? 2 summers ago?" "I did remember." "Are you Mary?" "I am." With a bubbly, effervescent spirit, she replied, "I sure am." And she wrapped her arms around me. "Please, please let me tell you my story." After lunch, we met at the picnic table designated. "Remember what I told you? And remember what you told me? As a kid, I had once made a profession of faith, but I had lost it long ago. I was the loneliest, the bitterest, the most dysfunctional kid that ever walked the streets throughout the long night hours." She shared how she had walked past her father's home countless times, always after dark, in order not to be noticed and identified, and always praying that God would give her the strength to ring that doorbell and encounter her father. "I knew I had to do it. I was so messed up. I had lost my appetite. Instead of sleeping, I wrestled with my guilt night after night. My resentment was building up to the point where my one and only thought was to design a way to get even with my dad. Oh, how I hated him." Then came that unforgettable evening. "I remembered your words. You said, you won't be able to do it in your own strength." I stood across the street from my father's house and prayed that God would help me. He did. He really did. No mistaking, he did. I trembled so fiercely, I scarcely could find the doorbell. The door was opened, and there stood my father. He experienced a shock so intense that he had to hold on to the banister post that led up the stairs. And then he burst into weeping, so severe, I thought he would never stop. I also wept. We just could not stop. We wept and we wept and we wept, and what seemed forever, we finally embraced. He begged my forgiveness, and I begged to be forgiven for despising him so intensely. After the camping season, Mary sent me a letter, and I want to read you this letter. "Dear Henry, I've discovered that all experiences, if we are believers, will end up with some blessings. I was so thrilled after reconciling with my father that I wanted to do something to demonstrate my gratitude to God. It was he who had helped me to win the battle. I went to the camp director, where 2 years ago I had been a guilty, defeated, mentally mixed up camper, and asked if I could somehow become a volunteer. He enrolled me in a class of counselors. Every Saturday morning throughout the winter months, I showed up at camp and took this counselor training workshop course. This summer, when you met me, I had been accepted as a junior counselor. I was thrilled when the Union Gospel Mission kids came again. I saw myself many times over in the lives of those kids. I had two girls in my cabin that behaved just as I had behaved that dreadful summer when you first met me. They were two sisters, but they kept to themselves. I tried to make conversation with them, but for the first 2 days they isolated themselves totally from everybody and from me and from all activities. There was no responding for no specific reason except that God designs all situations. I found myself sitting alone at the very same picnic table where you and I had met 2 years ago. I recalled our conversation, still so vivid in my mind. Then surprise, big surprise. The two girls stood beside me, asking if they could talk with me. They sat across the table just as you and I had done, and they poured out their unbelievable, sordid grief. Their story was the rubber stamp of my story that I had shared with you. Their one sister had already committed suicide, and together they had both made the same attempt. They pulled up their sleeves to show me the scars that evidenced their failed attempt. I would be unable to describe to you their look when I pulled up my sleeves and disclosed to them that I had also done the same. They looked to me in shocked unbelief. We bonded. They realized that I was able to understand them. I had been there. What an incredible joy was mine to lead both these girls into a new relationship with Jesus, who suffered just as we had suffered, but on our behalf. And for the rest of the week, I saw two girls with a joy they had never experienced before. At the end of the camp season, they shared their objective to become camp counselors, just like me.